This is Faith Footnotes with Northwestern Publishing House, Episode 2, Staying in Scripture When Life Gets Busy. Welcome to Faith Footnotes, Christian Conversations with Northwestern Publishing House. Find us online at nph.net. My name is Joshua Vick.
And I am Tanya Gerbing.
And we are your hosts for Faith Footnotes.
Like our name suggests, this is a Christian podcast that is all about practical resources for connecting with Christ and Christian living. Typically, we will feature engaging conversations with Christian authors, explore helpful answers to common questions about the Christian life, dig deep into faith-related topics, and more.
Welcome to the show, everyone. I can't believe we're in the middle of September already, and technically speaking, we just have a few days left of summer. Kids are already back in school. And I guess I'm old enough to remember when parents used to celebrate that day when kids went back to school. And now, talking to a lot of my friends who are parents, they're kind of bracing for September, thinking about the drop-offs and the pickups and sports and practices and games and social events and clubs. And when your kids finally do make it home, they're doing homework. And as a result, sometimes families lose that time together. From a Christian perspective, what does that mean when thinking about time you spend doing devotions, or time you're in God's Word together, or time you're encouraging or supporting one another?
Well, you nailed it, Josh, because back to school is a really busy time for families. I remember that busy time very well. So maybe our audience is here today because you are looking to start family devotions, or maybe you just need some encouragement to get back into devotions now that summer is almost gone. When my kids were growing up, we did do family devotions. Our aim was to have a devotion every day of the week except for Sunday, because Sunday's church day. We weren't perfect at keeping that schedule, but family devotions did become a part of our routine.
Joining us to talk more about this topic today is Pastor Jay Bickelhaupt. Pastor Bickelhaupt serves at Apostles Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana, and he is also the author of the popular book, 5-Minute Bible Studies for Families. Welcome to the show, Pastor.
Thank you for having me, Josh and Tanya. I'm excited to be here with you.
We're excited to have you.
So, Pastor, what was your motivation for writing 5-Minute Bible Studies for Families?
When I received the invitation from Northwestern Publishing House to write this devotion book, I was excited about it because I felt that it fell right in line with our ministry plan. We're always looking for fresh materials to give to our families in our congregation, but also in our early childhood ministry, to connect them to the Word. And so as I thought about it, I designed the book around the preschool curriculum and the Bible studies that they were going to have every week. So this gave us an opportunity also to organize this book so that we can send out a list of lessons and weeks for the parents so that they can read these devotions as supporting materials for their kids and also their preschoolers. And so I just thought this was a neat opportunity for us to do that for our ministry and hopefully provide some materials for other ministries as well.
Pastor, did any of your experiences as a parent contribute to the book?
100%. Yes, I tried to change the names, but maybe some of the stories from our family slipped in there as well. But, you know, as parents, we have three kids. Raising our three kids within 6 years age difference, we were always trying to balance what devotions we were going to read for the older ones, younger ones. And so this book, too, I tried to design the questions for older kids, but the younger kids could get it as well. So a bigger age span in there.
One part about the book that I really like is how short the devotions are. So it really sticks to the title, 5-Minute Bible Studies. And then it's also very interactive. But before we get more into talking about doing devotions, Why should a family consider doing devotions, or why are devotions so important?
Yeah, I just came across this concept the other day talking to a dear friend, and he mentioned the upper story, right? And so it's God's story. And then we have the lower story here on earth. How do we connect those two stories? It's with his story, and it's with God's word. If God's word isn't there, then we aren't connected to the upper story. I think one of the things that maybe we have a misconception of too sometimes is that idea that we make God a part of our story when the reverse is true. God gives us his word and shows how he has chosen us from the beginning of time and how he brings us into his family, and that's through the word. Think about all of the themes about the word, right from Genesis chapter 1 throughout the entire scriptures, right? The word is the second person of the Trinity. He created everything. Adam and Eve falls into sin. And what does God do? He allows Adam and Eve, sinners now, to hear the word of promise. And then he gives us his word, his story throughout the Old Testament, showing us how he would bring the word, who would become flesh, into our world to bring us salvation. There's so many scripture passages that just emphasize how important it is to have the word of God in our life, not only for the benefit for the here and now, but for an eternity. Right. And think about what Jesus says. Don't store up for yourselves things here on earth, because it's just kindling for the last day, right? But store up for yourselves heavenly treasures that will last forever.
Yeah, I think studying God's word is, it's something we want to do for the rest of our lives. And as a Christian parent, my prayer is probably the same as every Christian parent out there. I want my kids to stay connected to God for the rest of their lives. So parents, set the example. If you make God and his word and devotions a priority in your life, your kids are going to notice.
Yeah, and it's not a nicety, right, to have the word of God. It's an absolute necessity to impress that upon our children as well. And also, just practically speaking, if you don't set a time, or at least in my life, if I don't make a schedule, then it usually doesn't happen, right? And so create those healthy habits when they are young. And so often I see that the kids will just fall into that habit, into that pattern. Set that example, set the schedule for them as well.
So how do families make time for devotions, especially when everyone's schedule is so full and you barely feel like you have a moment to sit down?
Yeah, I can answer this from my own heart. Is I got to be honest with myself, is there are so many non-negotiables in my life. Why don't I make God's word the primary non-negotiable if it's going to impact me now and also impact my children now and for an eternity? I have to understand the importance of that. You know, as I eat every day, I try to sleep every day, right? Brush my teeth every day, right? The simple things. I got to carve out time and make time for my Jesus to speak to my heart and also to the hearts of those who live in my home too. And I think that goes back a little bit on the last question is, I can change my kids' behavior, right, with the law. I can make threats, right? You're going to be grounded if you don't do this. But it's the word of God. It's the gospel. It's the message of grace that changes our kids' hearts and our own too. And we want to make sure that the word is present in their lives and in our lives too. This is a gift from the Lord.
Just kind of thinking about different families and, you know, every family is different. What I'm thinking of now is just a family who maybe they send their kids to a Christian school and they're thinking, why do we need to spend time doing devotions at home? That's why we send them to school. Or maybe there's a family member who's resistant. Maybe you have a teenager who says, you know, I don't need to do a Bible study or a family devotion. I'd rather just do it on my own. How would you approach a family member like that who maybe is resistant to doing a family devotion?
I think that is a great question. How about the KISS method? Keep it simple for students, right? And I think that's important. How about also the principle of it's usually always more advisable to share what you believe than what our kids must believe, right? And so once again, going back to what Tanya said is setting that example and think about what scripture says when it comes to our speech. It should be seasoned with God's word on a regular basis. And so once again, modeling how we talk in our Christian homes and also as Christians and we go out into the world, modeling that we live our faith out there too. And we talk as Christians out in the world and not just our home, right? This is a part of who we are. This is our identity in Christ, isn't it? And so I think just being good examples. And I think going back, Joshua, talking about maybe that quality time, right? I think we're so, we think quality time is so important. The reality of it is maybe sometimes it's just time, right? Is just to take time with our kids and have discussions over life through the filter of God's word. Just the normal, general day, incorporating God's word into it. And hopefully that will bring those who are resistant into a conversation about the truth of Christ.
Yeah, I think for those people who they're not quite sure what to do with someone who is resistant, maybe being consistent with, you know, the devotion or the Bible reading, that could help. If it doesn't work out quite as well as you thought it would, don't give up too quickly.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I don't know how many conversations that I have had with people over the last couple of decades of ministry who mentioned something about their grandfather or grandmother reading their Bible on a regular basis. And usually they're reaching back into their memories about 50 years, right? These are usually older people. And so that model and that consistency, I believe, is so very important. I think two, once again, is just keeping it simple. Is maybe there are some listeners out there who have heard about this. It's actually an ELCA model, but it's from Faith Incubators. And I love what they suggest is have the Faith Five. And so when you have conversations with your children, talk about the highs and lows of their days. And sometimes you're going to have a child say, well, nothing happened, right? But I think if you put it specifically, you know, what's a low? You know, what's something that didn't go well? And what's something that went really well? And then maybe have a list of Bible passages that you can choose one Bible passage, a promise that God gives to us, and then ask them, how does it speak to your high? How does it speak to your low? Right? Giving our burdens to God, giving our thanks to God. And then the next one would be a simple prayer. Let's take this to the Lord and then maybe even speak a blessing on your children or have them speak a blessing to you. And so this is kind of a neat thing to think about too, is using this as a filter. And as you're reading your devotions at home, you come across a passage that you might think to yourself, let's write this one down, because this would be a neat blessing to say to each other throughout the days and throughout the weeks.
I really like that idea about highs and lows and just kind of thinking when I was a teenager and my parents would say, how's your day? I'd, fine. Every day was fine. No matter if it was good or bad, it was fine. And, you know, that what you just said, not only does a family come together in Christ and grow together spiritually, but you're also learning more about each other in kind of a natural, organic way. And that's just, you know, incredible how God's word can really bring a family together.
Absolutely. There's a couple of stories that I'll share. There was one that really kind of hurt my heart a little bit. A lady lost her husband, and about a week or two later, she came to me and bemoan the fact that they were married 50 years. They went to church with each other on a regular basis. I would say that they were solid members. But she looked me in the eye with tears and said, after 50 years, I never heard my husband talk about Jesus in our home. And from that day on, I always thought to myself, and I encourage my congregation to, the greatest gift that you can give to your family and loved ones is to share with them what Jesus means to you. And if we are doing that as Christians, and also when we are doing that, aren't we getting used to talking about Jesus so that when we're outside of the walls of our home, that we can talk about Jesus and live Jesus too? In front of others who may not know him. And so
that's really important.
I agree, to get our kids used to talking about Christ, their Savior.
Pastor, you kind of touched on it before where you have 6 years age difference between your kids. In my family, we have 8 years age difference between kids. So families who have that varying ages of children in their family might struggle because they don't know how to keep each child engaged in family devotions. So can you give any advice for family who have children of different ages and how to keep them interested?
Yeah, so when we wrote the 5-minute devotion book, we broke it up into different sections. And so if you open it up, you're going to find that there is a short introduction, then there is a scripture lesson, then there is a devotion, and then there are some questions and also a prayer suggestion. I think just the format gives opportunity to families to divvy up those parts to the various ages sitting around the table. Have the older one maybe model how you would use that prayer suggestion. Have one who can read at the age of reading, go through the questions or read the scripture lesson. And maybe you don't have those who read. Those questions are designed for their age, so they can be the question answer, if you will, and also say the prayer. Sometimes the prayers of preschool children are absolutely insightful and also beautiful too. They keep it simple, right? The faith of a child.
What I like about your book, Pastor, is, and really, this is the 5-Minute Bible Studies for Families we're talking about now, but there's two other books in the series. There's one for teens and one for couples, which is the one I'm working through with my wife right now. But one thing that with all these books is that it's so applicable. The Bible verse, the little devotion, and then the questions can really get into some deep topics that are just so enlightening. What other resources are out there that you would recommend that families could use for devotions?
And Joshua, one of the things that I did before coming on the podcast is just to look at nph.net. Boy, there are so many wonderful resources out there. One of the things that I would ask that families would at least consider putting on their shelves for their family library is a good story Bible or a picture Bible. I think one of the neatest ways that you can teach your children, and we as adults, I believe, can do this too, is just to take some quiet time and visualize what God has done for us. You know, visualize Christ. I remember it was, I believe, this is stuck in my memory, that the first time that I ever saw a picture of Jesus smiling was, I think, in fifth grade. And that always stood out to me, right? And I'm like, oh, Jesus can smile? Well, of course, right? And when we're talking about these gospel promises and we're talking about the love that God lavishes upon us, is to be able to paint the correct pictures with that for our children and in our own minds too. And so I would say definitely get a good picture Bible. And once again, nph.net has some of those. You already mentioned the 5-minute devotion books. I do like those. I don't think we mentioned yet, you know, when it comes to those 5-minute devotion books, it isn't a devotion for every day, but it's a theme throughout the week. And so you can, on the off days, if you will, you can supplement some Bible passages. Maybe that's when you talk about the devotion that we had last week or the theme that has been mentioned. And so 3 devotions for every week. because we know that families are moving and families are busy. And I would suggest this, if you don't have children and you have the couple's book, if you are married, maybe put it in your car, or if you travel, take it with you. I think it's really neat too to hear about couples doing devotions on the phone. And so they keep that up. And I called my book that I wrote the pickup truck book, because I know families are super busy. And so keep it under the seat. And I do know some young families that will actually pull it out when they're sitting in the carpool line or the pickup line, and they'll read the devotion. That's the quality time, right? And so taking those normal times in our day to have a devotion at your fingertips and just making use of that, right? I think that's important too.
That's a really helpful tip for the families that are always on the go in the car. Why not do a devotion right in the car?
Absolutely. Just so many excellent resources there. It just reminded me of like the Buttons books, right, from NPH. So getting little ones involved to find the little buttons within the pictures while you're reading a devotion to them, once again, is creating those healthy habits, I think, is so important.
Yeah, I like the idea of the picture books. That's really helpful for little kids, that they can kind of point to the picture, even if you're reading a different part of scripture, and they can visualize it because they're seeing a picture of it. We've also done like reading through the catechism as our kids got older, or just taking the Bible and having each kid read a verse when they got to that point. That was really good too.
Yeah, just getting them used to chapter and verses. You know, as I praise God that we are in a situation where we're reaching out to individuals that have never had a church home before. And it's so interesting to starting at that foundational level where an individual picks up a Bible and has never held one before. And if we're teaching our kids chapter and verse, and this is where we can read specific things about our Savior and what he has done, that is vital, especially when they get to the confirmation years, to have that solid foundation of Bible history so that you can understand the doctrines and the teachings from the context from which they come. That is vital.
So as we have discussed, devotionals are great tools. Pastor, what are your thoughts on singing hymns or other praise songs during devotion time?
I would probably sing for you right now, but you probably wouldn't want me to. So I say I make a joyful noise to the Lord, right? We actually called our music program Joyful Noises. And I do praise God that he has wonderful filters, right? Years ago, I just kind of, that got into my heart, my mind, and now I just sing out. But I'm not a great singer. And I think that's a good question too, when it comes to families who might not have a lot of musical talents. But there are so many wonderful resources out there, aren't there? You know, we can Google something, pull something up on our phone. Maybe it's listening to Christian music, solid Christian music. Maybe it's opening up the live stream or the recorded worship service and singing along with some of those hymns, if your congregation does that. We do use the Koine resources, and so you can go to koinemusic.com, or even look up some YouTube clips of Koine, and they sing some beautiful hymns that you can sing along with. And some of their videos even have the words on the video so that you can follow along too. And those are some of the things that we did or have done in our family. And it was very important to us, because I remember driving our kids to school, and it was probably about a 15, 20 minute commute. And when the kids had a worry or a concern on their mind for that day, we would sing one of their favorite hymns. Probably not very well, but we sang it. And the message, right, was embedded in our hearts and our minds. And that the words and the music are so powerful. And they just, yeah, are branded in our minds, aren't they?
And there's some really easy hymns in the hymnal. Jesus Loves Me is in the hymnal. And God Loves Me Dearly, that's in the hymnal. Our family has had some favorite hymns. Now the Light Has Gone Away. That's actually a great hymn. Even if you just say the words instead of singing them, it almost becomes like a prayer.
Yeah, they are prayers. I have a little saying in our congregation. Now the pastors probably do too, but thank God for good hymns when there's bad sermons. Because the Lutheran hymnal, right? What is a hymn? It is a mini sermon, isn't it? Speaking to our hearts, and because it goes along with music, easily remembered too, and beautiful prayers, 100%.
Yeah, that's one way to get little kids involved. I mean, what little kid doesn't like music? I don't know of a little kid who doesn't like music. And if you can get them singing Jesus Loves Me, all the better.
You know what is a really good resource too, and I didn't even think of this till now, but is it called Tender Roots for Tender Shoots from nph.net? Mm-hmm. The packet that we usually give out when a child is baptized, and it goes from infancy to 4 years of age, I believe. And there's some resources in there that are excellent when it comes to music and just preschool-aged songs and rhymes set to music. And so great resource there too.
Well, thank you, Pastor Bickelhaupt, for joining us today and sharing some great insights, tips, and tricks for keeping families connected to God's Word and to each other through family devotions.
You can find the show notes and links to all the resources discussed on today's show at blog.nph.net. If you have any tips for staying in God's Word or specific devotionals you've used with your family in the past, you can post them in the comments. Be sure to follow our show on your preferred podcast platform. We will be posting a new episode each month. And our next episode is looking at the upcoming election and thinking about all the craziness that's coming along with it. We'll take a look at a perspective you can take when politics becomes too much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Faith Footnotes from Northwestern Publishing House. Keep the conversation going by visiting nph.net.